Welcome back to another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast. I am Joseph Ward, rocking solo, but I'm here. Shout out to Sam Dixon, Javard Grant, Doc Love for holding it down. My guest host, we're going at it and doing how we do it today right here on the Fix Sports Podcast on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, this is the greatest sports podcast you have ever heard. Coming straight from the side, going down, Audio Shop Talk. How we do it, what we do it, right here, straight from Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, man, I got some good topics for you today. We ain't going to be long, but I got some good topics for you today. But remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips, our stories from our perspectives, the stories of the unsung heroes of the African diaspora. And they do that through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants African history curriculum app, the On the Shoulders of Giants online course, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as virtual classes that you can book those sessions with On the Shoulders of Giants. All you gotta do is visit the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. That's www.ontheshoulders1.com. And you get all your Black history or African history needs that you desire. www.ontheshoulders1.com. And remember, on the Freedom Train Network, we have a plethora of great podcasting going down. So visit the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you get more access to the Fix Sports Podcast and all of our other podcasters. Remember, you can support the Fix on Patreon at patreon.com/the Fix. All my YouTubers, remember, subscribe to YouTube, comment, like, share the videos. All my podcasters, remember, share, download, share. So as many people can get this podcast as possible, because we have fun and we talk about the race. All right. So what we talking about today, Willie? HBCU Spotlight, Jackson State, still doing their thing. Their women won the SWAC championship. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Jackson State women's basketball. The Brooklyn Nets have added LaMarcus Aldridge. We didn't talk about this last week, but they've added LaMarcus Aldridge. To their roster. And they just added another young man, Alize Johnson, to the roster. But nevertheless, the Brooklyn Nets have added LaMarcus Aldridge to a roster where they just added Blake Griffin. So I'm going to be talking about, does that really put the Nets over the edge and make them the actual favorite to win the NBA championship? LeBron James is officially an owner of the Boston Red Sox. So we're going to get into the details of that. So the Deshaun Watson situation, you're still talking about that. That was last week's Weekly Rant. Make sure you can go to YouTube, check out last week's Weekly Rant, or on Facebook, Freedom Train Network Facebook page, the Fix Sports Podcast Facebook page, or Freedom Train Network on Instagram. But so a lot of things have happened since then. So apparently, two more lawsuits have been filed against Deshaun Watson, but 18 massage therapists have come out in support of Deshaun Watson and actually put their names on it. So we're going to talk about that. There's been a bit of controversy in the college football realm between Kirk Herbstreit and Dan Orlovsky because of some comments Dan Orlovsky made about former Buckeyes quarterback Justin Fields. I guess he was trying to explain why Fields was falling in the draft, and the way he said what he said didn't come out right. So Kirk Herbstreit jumped on his ass. So we're going to dissect that. And the Weekly Rant is going at the Kevin Durant, Michael Rapaport situation. Apparently, Kevin Durant said some things to Michael Rapaport during a social media exchange, and they are considered not good things to say. And Michael Rapaport exposed the situation. So they're both going to be in the rant, both of them. But we're going to start this thing off right with our HBCU Spotlight. That's yeah. Jackson State women's basketball. They won the 2021 SWAC tournament. So the Jackson State Lady Tigers are headed to the big dance after defeating the Alabama State Lady Hornets by a final score of 67-66 in the 2021 Cricket's Wireless Women's Basketball Tournament at Bartow Arena. Ooh, shoot. Now, in the first quarter of play, the Lady Tigers and Lady Hornets were locked into a close game midway through the quarter before JSU opened it with a 22-14 lead at the end of the first quarter. So they was in there getting it. We got to get it. We got to get this thing. So in the second quarter, Alabama State used a 9-4 swing to pull back within a 29-23 deficit with 4:07 to go in the first half. All right, so we got a close game. It's going down, right? So down the stretch of the second quarter, JSU knocked down 7 free throws to take a 37-24 lead into the halftime. Alabama State, they trailed 46-29 with 4 minutes and 44 seconds remaining in the third quarter. That's that 4-4-4 in the third quarter, trimming the deficit to down to just the 4 points in that same period before Jackson State pushed the lead back to 9 in the fourth quarter with a 59-50 lead, right? So the Lady Hornets pulled to within 4 points of Jackson State with a 67-57 point game with 3 minutes and 8 seconds left in the game. So a young lady named Farrah Pearson, she got a layup, and then so that put Jackson State up to 61-60. And then the 3-pointer, bam, from behind the arc by a young lady named Ayana Emanuel. So we got a game, right? We got a game coming down to the final seconds. After a defensive stop, Alabama State took the lead. Oh, shoot. They took the lead with 2 minutes and 6 seconds remaining on an Emanuel 3-pointer. So that put the game to 63-61 with Alabama State up at this point. And then the two teams traded buckets until Pearson and the Lady Hornets. She put the Lady Hornets up 66-65 with 30 seconds left in the game. Now we got even more droppers because young Pearson, they made the shot. 66-65, 30 seconds left in the game. Alabama State, like, hey, man, we got to stop them, and we win. Jackson State, like, hey, we got to hit the shot, and we win. So Jackson State, they hit a pair of free throws with 13 seconds left to take a 67-66 lead, which basically was the go-ahead bucket to put Jackson State in the victory seat. And so Alabama State, at that point, when the free throw was hit to make it 66-67, they called a timeout. So Alabama State had a pair of good looks at the basket in the final 3 seconds before Jackson State cleared the rebound to claim the win and earn the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament for the SWAT. They're representing the SWAT. The Lady Tigers were led by Deja Rogan. I'm thinking I'm saying her name. Deja Rogan, who finished with 25 points in the game and 3 assists. She was subsequently named the Cricket Wireless SWAT Women's Basketball Tournament Most Valuable Player. JSU's Jones had 13 points and 9 rebounds, while Keshawna Luckett had 9 points. A young lady last name Williams finished with 11 points and 13 rebounds and 6 blocks. Emanuel led the Lady Hornets, and she balled out too, so shout out to Miss Emanuel. But she led the Lady Hornets with 17 points and 4 assists, while Tamira Thomas added career-high 11 points and 5 rebounds off the bench. So Alabama State's Pearson added 9, and Jayla Crawford had 8 points for Alabama State, who finished shooting. She shot 33.8% from the floor and 26.7% from the arc from behind the three-point line. So as a team, Jackson State went 20 of 52 from the field and out-rebounded Alabama State 46-36. Hey, rebounds, turnovers, and assists matter. So JSU improved to 18-5 overall on the season. Glad to have a winning record. 15-1 in the SWAT and achieved their first SWAT tournament championship since 2008. Shout out to Jackson State women for winning that 2021 SWAT tournament championship. Hey, man, like I tell you, I don't know what's going on in Jackson State. And I don't want to just say it's the Deion effect, but the Jackson State folk, they bringing it. They're doing it. They're saying this is our time, and we're taking full advantage of it. So shout out to the Jackson State women. Shout out to Jackson State and everything that they got going on over there. They've been balling, and the programs are, it's like a residual effect. Like the serendipity is happening. All these programs are out there doing their thing, and they're winning. So shout out to those ladies at Jackson State, but also shout out to the Alabama State women basketball squad as well for putting up a great game. 67-66. Y'all was in it to win it. Y'all was refusing to lose, and I ain't mad at y'all. So shout out to Alabama State, but most of all, shout out to Jackson State women for winning that SWAC championship. That there, folks, is our HBCU spotlight. That shout, that HBCU spotlight. Yeah. Yes, sir. All right, so we're going to continue talking about some basketball. We talk about the basketball. So if you ain't been paying attention and you've been living under a rock, or you just don't follow sports like that, but you listen to The Fix, I appreciate you. But everybody who supports this, I appreciate you. Remember, for the full videos of The Fix Sports Podcast, become a patron, patreon.com/The Fix for the full videos of The Fix Sports Podcast, right? So the Brooklyn Nets, they started the season with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, and we like, all right, the Nets are going to be contenders. And then the Nets added James Harden. All right, so the Nets are more than a contender. We expect the Nets to come out of the East with Harden, Durant, and Irving. Especially, like, you got the other pieces that they have. So we thought they were formidable, not necessarily the clear favorites to win the NBA Finals, but damn sure gonna win the East. Then them boys added Blake Griffin. And then them boys added LaMarcus Aldridge. So their total roster, and I'm gonna give you the Nets total roster. They have LaMarcus Aldridge, Bruce Brown, Chris Chioza, Nicholas Claxton, Spencer Dinwiddie, Kevin Durant, Jeff Green, Blake Griffin, James Harden, Joe Harris, Kyrie Irving, Alize Johnson, Tyler Johnson, DeAndre Jordan, Timothy Luwawu Cabaret, Reggie Perry, and Landry Shannon. So the players we really care about, let's just be real, players we really care about, shout out to all these young men, but players we really care about is LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. But we also care about Jeff Green, Spencer Dinwiddie, and DeAndre Jordan as well. But just check this out, though. At any given time, the Brooklyn Nets can have on the floor, you can have either DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. Or you can have LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. Or you can have DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. So they got options. Plus you still got Spencer Dinwiddie. You still got Jeff Green. And you still got the other pieces of the team. So right now, for me, I'm saying that the Brooklyn Nets should be the favorite to win the NBA championship with the pieces that they have. Now, that doesn't make them the definitive favorites to win the championship, though. It don't. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to happen. Because we've seen in the NBA before, and we've seen in the sports world before, teams who have stacked the deck as far as talents. Just ask the Yankees. So teams who have stacked the deck with talent are expected to win, but it's not a guarantee that they're going to win. And so with pieces like Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge to add to what they already had. Okay, Blake Griffin is probably, I think he's 33, 35. Blake Griffin isn't the Blake Griffin that he used to be. So he still has hops, but Blake Griffin has added, he can shoot better now. Blake Griffin can definitely shoot way better than he could when he came into the NBA. Now, thinking about when Blake Griffin came into the NBA, a lot of talk was that Blake Griffin was one of these once-in-a-generation talents. Blake Griffin's going to set the NBA on fire. Blake Griffin. Expectations. Championships, NBA Finals, NBA MVPs, rather. All those expectations put out there with Blake Griffin. Me, personally, I saw an ultra-athletic person, but I was like, eh. The jury's still out if he's going to be a once-in-a-generational talent. And we kind of see that he didn't necessarily turn out to be that proverbial once in a generation talent. He's definitely a generational talent, but not necessarily those one a generational talent. So Blake Griffin could jump out the gym, Live City in LA, all these different things with Blake Griffin. And it was great. Blake Griffin is a great piece. Blake Griffin brings a lot to the table. So he's a player who's a great piece to add to the Nets, to what they already had. So at that point, you had DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, KD, Kyrie, and James Harden, right? And then you add LaMarcus Aldridge, who can still play. And that's the thing. LaMarcus Aldridge can still play, and Blake Griffin can still play, right? These players can still play. And they give the Nets some more bodies down low because they needed big men. So you give them more bodies down low. And, like, the Nets have, like, all type of options of things that they want to do. Like, they can play big, they can play small, but even in them, and for them, playing small, they're still playing big because you could put Durant at the five if you want to at any point in time. Who's going to check him at the five, right? Like, you got options of things that they can do with Harden and Jordan and Griffin and Irving and Durant, Aldridge, Dinwiddie. Come on, man. And then they add young man Alize Johnson. Now, I'm not too familiar with Alize Johnson. So he came out of Missouri State, second year in the pros. So they're saying with two games with the Nets, or I don't know, but they just have two games that 12 points per game, 10 rebounds a game. If you can get them 12 and 10 a game, then, you know, ain't nothing wrong with that. So let's look at this. All right, so LaMarcus Aldridge. Okay, so I'm guessing Alize Johnson has only played two games this season, I'm guessing, how they saying. So you got LaMarcus Aldridge this year is averaging 13 points, 4 rebounds. You got Spencer Dinwiddie, who's averaging, I don't think these stats ain't right. I'm gonna start reading this stuff. But the Nets have options. So now the Lakers have added your boy from the Pistons. His name just escaped me. He was in Detroit, Blake Griffin. What is his name? Hold on, let me Google it so I can do it right. Because you know who I'm talking about. I just can't think of his name. Like Lakers, right? I can't spell L-A-K-E-R-S, Lakers roster. All right, let's go to their roster. I can't believe old boy name to just skip mine. Andre Drummond. There you go. Andre Drummond is his name, who they just added. So, and the reason why I'm doing it like this, because the Lakers and the Nets are the two teams that are really expected to meet in the finals. Now, don't count out all these other teams like the Jazz or the Nuggets or the Clippers. Still, the Bucks say they still got something to say. 76ers still say they got something to say. Who else the top teams? I'm just saying go with those teams. They still got something to say, but adding Andre Drummond to the Lakers squad was big. Now, Andre Drummond does have an injury. Let me see. Let me check up on it. The Andre Drummond injury, because he do have an injury. He got a toe injury in the game. In his first game as a Laker, Andre Drummond suffered a toe injury. And so how long is he out? I don't know, because I know the Lakers are already dealing with injuries with LeBron and AD. But I do think when you get a healthy LeBron, a healthy AD, the Lakers can contend with the Nets, but the Nets got a must. They got a stick, though. The Nets got a stick. Like, come on, man. This ain't even fair. This ain't even fair. So according to this, this is NBA.com. Okay, so according to NBA.com, you got Durant averaging 29 points, Kyrie averaging 27, James Harden averaging 25, DeAndre Jordan averaging 7. That ain't really big, but Blake Griffin averaging 11, Jeff Green averaging 9, Aldridge averaging 13, Dinwiddie averaging 6, Joe Harris averaging 14, Claxton averaging 8, Nicholas Claxton. Like, they got players, man. So I'm going to keep my eye on what these Brooklyn Nets are doing. I ain't gonna lie, I do want to see the Nets and the Lakers in the finals. I want to see this thing happen. If the Nets do not reach the finals, it will be a grave disappointment. Steve Nash gonna have to coach now. Don't get it twisted now. Steve Nash ain't gonna just be able to just show up and just throw the ball out and say y'all just got to play. Because the deeper you go into the season and when you get to the playoffs, Steve Nash is gonna have to coach. So we're gonna see what Steve Nash has as a coach. Because right now we can't really tell. Shit, look who they got. And then, from my understanding, they're saying Vince Carter is thinking about coming out of retirement and joining the Nets. Let me look this up. So, say the Brooklyn Nets. So it's rumors. It's rumors. It's no absolutes out there, but it's rumors that Vince Carter could join Brooklyn, and because of their shot with winning the title. So, man, we're gonna see how that go. We're gonna see how that go. But that's one of the most interesting things in the NBA right now to me. Now, other teams have added pieces, and it's time to really dig into the NBA and really start paying full attention to what's going on in the NBA because of all the moves and things at the trade deadline. So we're going to see who the cream of the crop is in the NBA. We're going to see because these playoffs ain't too far away, but we still got time. So in talking more basketball related, we're talking about LeBron James as a businessman. So we all know about the story of LeBron James, him and Maverick Carter, Rich Paul. That's another gentleman. I can't remember his name, but we all know the story of LeBron and his homies coming up and building their empire, building schools, investments, other businesses that LeBron have going on, the sports agency. All those things that LeBron and Rich and Maverick and all the gentlemen got going on. So one of the latest things that happened within the LeBron camp as far as business is, according to this article, which was released on March 31st, is that LeBron James is now officially a part owner of the Boston Red Sox. So because the talks was that he would become an owner, then talks is that he is an owner, but now it's official. The pen is signed, the ink is dried on the line that LeBron James is now officially a part owner of the Boston Red Sox. And so, and that was announced Wednesday from Fenway Sports Group. So Fenway Sports Group announced Wednesday that LeBron part of that ownership. So James, his business partner Maverick Carter, and their longtime business associate Paul Watcher will become part of the FSG, which is the Fenway Sports Group's ownership group, the sports company said in its news release. FSG owns the Red Sox and the Liverpool Football Club in the Premier League. Wow. Okay. We are also pleased to welcome our ownership group, LeBron, Maverick, and Paul, with whom we have enjoyed a successful collaboration for well over a decade, FSG leadership said in a statement. Their addition is an important milestone for FSG and expands and deepens a longtime friendship and relationship that began in 2010. All right. So leadership is comprised of principal owner John W. Henry, chairman Tom Werner, and president Mike Gordon. James is already a part owner of the reigning Premier League champion Liverpool. I knew that. So earlier this month, James said he and Carter would become the first two black men to be a part of the FSG ownership group. One time for black ownership, you heard me? We talk about this black wealth movement, but it needs to be bigger, it needs to be better. And if you listen to the Freedom Train podcast series, we go into the black wealth all the time. But black wealth has to happen because they are expecting overall black wealth in America to be at zero by 2050. So as individuals and as a whole, we got to take care of ourselves. We got to do what we need to do, and we need to get our money. Ownership is where it's at. Now, it would be great if this was all black team or all black group, but you got to get in where you fit in, as long as you bring it back. As long as you bring it back, right? It gives me and people that look like me hope and inspiration that they can be in a position like this as well, that it can be done. That's what LeBron James said following Los Angeles Lakers' victory against the Minnesota Timberwolves on the 16th of March. It's a pretty amazing thing for me to be able to continue to build my portfolio off the floor. Also, in a beautiful game like basketball, Maverick Carter said, working with Fenway Sports Group for the past decade has taught LeBron and me so much about the business on a global scale. And we always believed it would lead to something bigger. We're proud to be a part of this iconic ownership group, and we're excited about the opportunities that come with that to continue creating change and empowering people of every race, gender, background to be a part of the process. That's what Maverick Carter said. James has previously said his ultimate goal is to own an NBA team, and he's well on his way to doing that. I got so much to give to the game, he said on March 16th. I know what it takes to win at this level. I know talent. I also know how to run a business as well. That is my goal. My goal is to own an NBA franchise. It'll be sooner than later. And it will be sooner than later for somebody like LeBron James, because he got his business together. He got his ducks in a row. And he got a great team that's working with them. So shout out to LeBron and Maverick and all the gentlemen that's getting a part of this group. And I hope they make the best of it and capitalize on being in this ownership position. Hey, man. We got a long way to go as far as Black America when it comes to ownership and controlling things. LeBron being a part owner is a step in the right direction. And I'm looking forward to him being a full owner of an NBA franchise, being the principal owner like Michael Jordan is of an NBA franchise. I myself have aspirations of being an owner of an NFL team. That's always been one of my ultimate goals, is to be an owner of an NFL team. Now, specifically the team's Dallas Cowboys. Growing up, I always wanted to buy the team from Jerry Jones, because I always felt like Jerry Jones was not a good owner as far as the on the field aspects. But the Dallas Cowboys have only made the playoffs for a handful of times since I was 12 years old. I'm 37 now, and they are the most wealthiest franchise in the world. So Jerry Jones, business-wise, but on the field. But I just feel like I could do better on the field and off the field. I could take it to new heights. That's always what I feel. So shout out to LeBron, Maverick, everybody who's doing their thing, the FSG group, everybody who got it going on. I want to see more ownership. We got to see more ownership. We got to see more black ownership in these sports realm. We cannot just be the talent. We got to be the owners. Being just the talent is nothing, man. It's reminiscent of the plantations, man. Got all this talent and old white men sitting back reaping most of the financial benefits. Nah, can't do that no more. Moving forward, we have to control the industries that we dominate. If we're going to dominate football, we're going to dominate basketball, we're going to dominate track and field, things like that, we have to own the industries. That's why I ain't mad at Ice Cube in the Big Three. I ain't mad at LeVar Ball in the JBA. I ain't mad at that. I think The Rock just brought the XFL. I ain't mad at that. Black ownership in these sports realms is needed. Like, we can no longer just be the label. We have to be the owners. And if you ain't trying to own nothing, you tripping. You tripping if you ain't trying to own that. Straight up. So that's how I get down, man. So salute to LeBron and his homeboys, man, for doing their thing. and officially becoming owners of the Boston Red Sox. That's what's up. That is what is up. Because my brothers and sisters, if you don't own your space, you are never in control of what happens to you in your space. If you don't own your mind, you're only renting that area and somebody else is controlling your thoughts and your actions. Control, ownership, control is what we need. All right, so let's keep this thing rolling. Let's keep this thing rolling. Let's move on like Maya. Y'all know how we do. It's we'll be moving on. Ooh, everybody. The roll in the ambulance car. Ooh, throw your hands up. If you roll in an ambulance car, everybody who rolled an ambulance car, I had to sing that. It was on my heart, so I had to sing it. Because everybody who rolled in an ambulance car, everybody who rolled an ambulance car. Hey, man, buddy on. whoever that dude that sung that in that barbershop, shout out to him. And that was my song. That's my damn song. All right, so Deshaun Watson, we're talking about it again. The total is now up to 21 lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson under a single lawyer. But the twist this week is we have 18 women who are said to be massage therapists who have come out to defend Deshaun Watson. Dun, dun, dun. I got my own sound effects. So two more lawsuits alleging sexual assault and inappropriate behavior were filed against Deshaun Watson on Tuesday evening, including one that states the Houston Texans quarterback has unsent messages on Instagram and has contacted the women who had previously messaged him through intermediaries. Show the messages. Show the messages then. The statement in the lawsuit clarifies the content of the lawsuit filed by the Houston attorney Tony Busby on Sunday night that said Watson was deleting Instagram messages and contacting the women who formerly provided him messages in an attempt to settle those cases. On Monday, Watson's lawyer, Rusty Hardin, said in a statement that Watson has not deleted any Instagram messages over the past 2 weeks and categorically denied that his client contacted any of the women directly. All right. After the two newest lawsuits appeared on the Harris County District Clerk's website on Wednesday morning, Hardin released statements from 18 women who say that they have worked with the Texans quarterback and that he never made them feel uncomfortable or demanded anything outside of the scope of a professional massage. Watson's attorney said the statements were voluntary and from women who have collectively worked with Deshaun more than 130 times over the past 5 years. In addition to the two new lawsuits, Busby posted on Instagram on Tuesday night that he now doesn't feel comfortable going to the Houston Police Department. And this is the lawyer against Deshaun Watson, Tony Busby, because he's saying it's conflicts with the Houston police. So this is what he's saying. So I'm gonna read more. So he says, So Tony Busby says he now doesn't feel comfortable going to the Houston Police Department with any information and that he and his clients will go elsewhere to provide our evidence to investigative authorities. Earlier this month, Busby said he would submit affidavits and evidence from several women to the Houston Police Department and the Houston District Attorney. And one of the things that is out now is the Houston Police is now saying that they are now investigating what happened with Deshaun Watson. So let me pull that up. Houston Police, Deshaun Watson. And so I'm gonna come back to this, but let me read this for you. So it says, the Houston Police Department said Friday it was investigating NFL quarterback Deshaun Watson, who was facing allegations of sexual misconduct after a formal complaint was made against him. Details about the allegation were not released by the department, which refused to comment on the investigation. The announcement comes as the Houston Texans player faces lawsuits from 21 women who alleged sexual misconduct. A complainant filed a report on the Houston Police Department concerning Deshaun Watson. The department tweeted the person was not identified. Watson's attorney, Rusty Harden, said in a statement Friday, "Now we will learn the identity of at least one accuser. We will hope we will fully cooperate with the host with the Houston Police Department." On Tuesday, at least the two latest accusers stepped forward to claim in separate lawsuits that the quarterback exposed himself and made inappropriate requests last year during paid massage sessions. The women in the suits were each identified as Jane Doe. One claim Watson described disrobed against her wishes and demanded she massage the area immediately around his anus. According to her suit, during a subsequent massage session, the suit claimed he coerced her into performing oral sex. The other woman said in her lawsuit that she rebuffed Watson's sexual advances and was then told by him that the massage was over. Harden has presented statements from 18 massage therapists who said they never experienced such behavior with Watson. Right. So back to this other article. So my legal opponent, Mr. Harden, has a son. And so this is what Tony Busby is saying about Rusty Harden now. Remember, Tony Busby is the lawyer for the women who are accusers, and Rusty Harden is the lawyer for Deshaun Watson. So my legal opponent, Mr. Harden, has a son who is on the exclusive command staff of the Houston Police Department. Tony Busby posted on Instagram. And it's funny that this lawyer is communicating heavily through social media. I am not saying in any way that Deshaun Watson's lawyer, Mr. Harden, has a son who has a position that will compromise Houston Police Department investigation. I support his service along with all Houston police officers. I think the rank and file know that. The two new lawsuits, which were available Wednesday morning on the Harris County District Clerk's website, bring the total number of lawsuits filed against Watson to 21. One of the lawsuits alleges that Watson made obscene sexual gestures, and the second says that over the course of four sessions, Watson purposely exposed himself to the massage therapist and touched her with his penis and ultimately groped her, coerced her into oral sex, and ejaculated on her. Watson has publicly denied any wrongdoing, and Harden said last week that he believes any allegation that Deshaun forced a woman to commit a sexual act is completely false. Now, I wonder if the lady is saying that he ejaculated on her, if she kept any biological evidence. So did he ejaculate on the clothes and what clothes kept, or whether he immediately washed or anything, those that go into it. So that is a thought that goes into my mind. Because that's evidence that could help prove her point. Like I said last week when Sam was on, me and Sam was talking. Either way, this is messed up. Either way it goes, right? If Deshaun Watson actually did this, then he's a fucking creep. But if he didn't actually do this, then you got people, I just got them accusing people because they can, which is messed up. Which is straight up messed up. So that's where I'm at with this. So NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy has stated that the matter is under review pertaining to the league's personal conduct policy. And the Texans said in a statement that they would stay in close contact with the NFL during his investigation. NFL, the PA, the Players Association Executive Director D. Maurice Smith said Tuesday that the union will also monitor the situation. "We monitor these cases, and if the results in an investigation by the league with respect to the personal conduct policy, we'll become involved in that," Smith said during an interview with ESPN's Keyshawn Williams-Zubin. "Other than that, you know, historically, I don't comment on open cases, but we are continuing to honor it as it might impact this young man and personal conduct policy. Right. So, because ultimately, like I said last week, once again, Deshaun Watson may end up facing a 6-game suspension, whether he's found guilty or not. And we're going off the precedent that was set with the accusations that went along with the Ezekiel Elliott case like 2 years ago when he was suspended 6 games. And I don't think any real evidence was found in the case against Ezekiel Elliott. I think it's a domestic violence case. No real evidence was found, but yet he was still suspended 6 games because of the NFL's personal conduct policy. And, you know, the NFL is going to go above and beyond to protect the shield. So if anything, I do expect Deshaun Watson to be suspended by the league. These are civil suits. These are not criminal suits. So we don't think he'll go to jail or anything. Now, the investigation is open from the Houston Police Department, so we'll see what's going on. And as of right now, no criminal charges have been filed, and we don't have any criminal evidence against him. It's all what these 21 women and this lawyer is saying versus what Deshaun Watson is saying, what his lawyer is saying, and these 18 women who decide they're going to defend him are saying. So that's where we are right now, the Deshaun Watson situation. You got 21 accusers, 18 defenders, 2 lawyers, and a lot of he say, she say. He say, she say. So all we can do right now is keep our eye on this, collect as much evidence as possible, and hope that there's no sex, that Deshaun Watson isn't a sexual predator out here, but also really looking at, dang, they out here just accusing people like that or not? Because I don't have the evidence, I can't definitively go either way. So I'm in the middle, and I don't like to be in this position because I like to have the information. I like to have the, you know, I want the information to be able to discern rather this is actually true or not. So right now, we're still in the phase of waiting. So we can't make any sweeping decisions. You can't say, well, Deshaun is innocent. We don't know. You can't say, well, Deshaun is guilty, because we don't know. All we do know is this is the information we have, and we're waiting to see what happens next. So that's the latest on what's happening with Deshaun Watson. All right, so these last three things are all controversy. It's all about controversy. And I just learned about this story yesterday, scrolling through YouTube. So Kirk Herbstreit, NFL college football announcer and personality, Kirk Herbstreit is in the news for slamming former NFL quarterback and analyst for ESPN, Dan Orlovsky. And what is being described as a reckless and absurd reporting on Justin Fields. So I had to go do my digging. So, and it's all over Twitter. Just type Dan Orlovsky, Justin Fields. It's all over Twitter, right? So I think it was Pat McAfee show. I believe it was the Pat McAfee show that Dan Orlovsky was on. And Orlovsky was asked about Justin Fields as far as why is he seeming to have to be falling in the draft. It's not seeming to be going as high as was first told to us. And in the conversation, in the initial conversation, Dan Orlovsky came out and said that he had sources that revealed to him that Justin Fields was lazy and didn't work hard and was the last one in and the first one out. And anybody who knows anything about football narratives in America know that's one of the worst things you can say about a black quarterback, that he's lazy, doesn't work. He's the last one in and the first one out, because that means we can't trust this cat. That means we can't invest in him because he's not going to give us the best return on our investment. But That's a title that's been placed upon black quarterbacks for a while. That's a title that's been placed upon a lot of black players for a while. To say a player, that's the kiss of death on a player, especially a black player, to say that they're the last one in and the first one out. That means that they don't want it. That's what Dan Orlovsky said in the initial clip that I was looking at. And then the second clip that I saw, and I get to what Kurt Herbstreit is saying, but the second clip that I saw, Dan Orlovsky was saying that he also got information that was the contrary to the initial information that he said he got. And he couldn't really find substantial information to prove that Justin Fields was, quote unquote, a lazy player. He couldn't find information to verify that Justin Fields was the last one in and the first one out. But he could find information to verify that Justin Fields was as advertised. So why wouldn't you verify your information before you got up there talking about it? Right. And so I'm guessing this is where Kurt Herbstreit comes in. So let's read. So social media has been ablaze and oiled up over reports by Dan Orlovsky that he has sources telling him that Justin Fields' work ethic and love for the game are in question. Some have come to the defense of Orlovsky, stating that he's reporting what he's heard. But there's been a significant pushback on creating a narrative without doing further research from people close to Fields. And that's what I just said. If you haven't done your full research, be your ass quiet, Dan Orlovsky. How you doing, man? How you doing? And you admit that you haven't done your full research, but yet you go out spewing this nonsense, saying these things, and you don't really know that it's absolutely true. Come on, Dan. Be a better human being. Be a better adult. Be a better person who's a former player in the media. Don't act like you don't know the game, man. You a former player who's in the media. Act like it. Stop acting like you've never been in the locker room before. Stop acting like you've never been between the lines. Stop acting like you've never been in amongst some controversy, because you were definitely overpaid for your talent. But anyway, Orlovsky was absolutely buried by some media members, fans, and keyboard warriors over the last couple of days. And he walked things back a bit by releasing another video after he did some further digging, which I just explained to you. And so this article is not necessarily digging into what Kurt Herbstreit said. And that's what I'm looking for, to see exactly what Kurt Herbstreit said. And so this next article is saying there's an unwritten rule among network colleagues to not call out coworkers publicly. Some in the business would say that this is also applies to employees at competing networks. Recently, ESPN's Kurt Herbstreit deviated from the convention regarding comments made by ESPN Dan Orlovsky about Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. What did Herbstreit say? Okay, so Herbstreit said, absolutely, well, he tweeted, absolutely ridiculous. And that was in response to the video that Jimmy Trainer of SI.com tweeted. Even if you were saying it, to pass that along from people in the know is reckless and absurd and embarrassing. That's what Kurt Herbstreit is saying. So, straight up. And it's like the fact that you will go out and put information out like that without doing your full research. Without doing your full research to see if it's true information. So if you go look at the videos, he's saying he contacted a couple sources. We don't know how reliable these sources are, but contacted a couple sources, and this is the information that they gave him about Justin Fields and his work ethic. You can't go ahead recklessly calling black people lazy like that, whether you meant to or not. Can't recklessly go out here calling black people lazy especially in the world of sports, at the position of quarterback. Because if you're trying to describe his work ethic and saying that this is how he works, you mess with this man money, not Dan. You mess with this man money. Remember when you got overpaid for your work in the NFL? Ain't nobody try to take money out your pocket. Yeah, it got criticized, but nobody went to the lengths to try to take money out your pocket. That's what you're doing. You mess with this man money. If you don't have all of the information, be your ass quiet, Dan. Come on, dog. As a former player, you should know better. You should know better. But I guess a lot of times we forget where we come from. Absurd. Embarrassing. I'm echoing what Kurt Herbstreit was saying toward Dan Orlovsky. If you only say what you know and know what you say. If you don't know what you're talking about, be your ass quiet. That's not that difficult. Be your ass quiet if you don't really have all the information. We don't care about how you feel or what you think. We want to know what is. Give us the facts. Keep your feelings and your thoughts to yourself. Give us the facts or be your ass quiet. And that's all I got to say about that. So hopefully that doesn't hurt Justin Fields' draft stock. It's time for the weekly rant. It's time for the weekly rant. See, I make my own music and sound effects. Y'all know me. I'm from Roberts Avenue, Tallahassee, Florida. Y'all know me. So, this past week, we've seen conversation between Michael Rappaport and Kevin Durant get taken public. And I'm putting both these guys in the rant because they both wild. So let's read. Let's read. So Kevin Durant was fined by the National Basketball Association on Friday over social media message he exchanged with comic actor Michael Rappaport. The fine total was $50,000, according to the league. Durant was fined for using offensive and derogatory language, according to a statement from the league, which noted the NBA star not acknowledged his actions were inappropriate, and he did come out and make a statement. Durant on Thursday addressed the message he is accused of sending to Michael Rappaport, which reportedly included threatening language and anti-gay misogynist slurs after the actor mocked him over social media. "I'm sorry that people seen that language I used," Durant told reporters. "That's not really what I want people to see and hear from me, but hopefully I can move past it and get back out there on the floor." Brooklyn Nets coach Steve Nash told reporters that the organization had a conversation with Durant about the language used in the exchange with Rappaport. Durant has been sidelined since injuring his hamstring in February. Rappaport has appeared in several films. Rappaport, via a video posted on social media after the fine news broke, said the situation had gotten out of hand. He added that he and Durant had previously met but were not friends, and he was bothered by what he felt were threats. "You live and you learn," Rappaport said. "I know I have lived and learned from this situation, and I have to deal with the ramifications that I keep to myself. And I know he has, and I feel bad about it, but it is what it is, and we have to move forward." So first, I want to address Kevin Durant. Then I'm getting Michael Rappaport's ass, because Michael Rappaport is a known agitator, is a known instigator, and Michael Rappaport be talking cash shit. And Michael Rappaport is one of the people who can give it, but apparently can't take it. KD. Bro, you got to stop. You got to stop allowing people to push your buttons. You got to stop. People shouldn't know how easy it is to get you riled up. You got to have more self-control. You got to have more of that, KD, because people know that you're sensitive. And people push your buttons. I don't know the context of the whole conversation with Durant and Rappaport. I haven't gotten that. But according to both sides, Durant acknowledged that he said some things that he probably shouldn't have said. And Rappaport has acknowledged that it gotten out of hand. But my thing for Rappaport is, well, why did you make it public? And I'm guessing he's saying he made it public because he felt, because of the physical threats that were made by Durant. I'm just saying, but I've heard Michael Rappaport talk some big shit. Big shit. See, Michael Rappaport is loose with his mouth. And Michael Rappaport is also one of those outsiders who's gotten real comfortable within our community, which is our fault because we allowed him to get real comfortable within the community. But at the same time, that's no excuse for Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has got to be more tactful and more cautious and have more control over himself and what he says. You can't allow people to bring you to these situations. And this is coming from somebody who loves to cuss people out. I love to go off on people. But I'm not going to allow you to push me to this level, especially somebody in the position with Kevin Durant, and especially in that medium that they're using, because nowadays anything that is said is, it can be subjected to be taken into public, right? And that's what happened in this situation, the private conversation that was taken public by Michael Rappaport. And so a lot of people are looking at Michael Rappaport as if he's a snitch and a rat. Now, I don't know exactly what the exact threat was Durant made toward Rappaport, but I do know that Rappaport comes off as if he's the down white guy who's street. And we got the streets in him, and the streets is with him. And usually when you're coming from that vein or that position, it's more like it is what it is and we can handle this in the streets. So it was surprising to see that Michael Rappaport kind of tell on Durant and say, hey, everybody, look at what Kevin Durant said to me, instead of kind of keeping it between them two, because they're both grown men. At the end of the day, they're both grown men, and if they're both grown enough to start it, they're grown enough to end it, to finish it, to be civil about it, right? They're grown men. At the end of the day, they're both grown men. They're both grown men. And once a year, we find Kevin Durant in a situation where his mouth and his feelings have gotten him in trouble or gotten some controversy around him, per se. And now he's $50,000 less because of this exchange with Michael Rappaport, which it seems like it's some soft ass shit on both ends. Like, how did it really get to this situation? If y'all don't know each other like that, and if Rappaport sent Durant something, they don't know each other like that. Hey man, ignore his ass or put him out. Or people should probably should start giving Michael Rappaport a taste of his own medicine, because he be saying sideways shit all the time. Now, how left does it go, the stuff he say? I don't know. I don't follow Rappaport like that. But I know I've been watching Rappaport long enough to know that Michael Rappaport says some wild stuff. And I've been watching the whole week. There have been plenty of people who friends of Michael Rappaport who say he'll say some left field stuff to you. And you got to kind of collect yourself. So there's no secret that Michael Rappaport talked to folk like that. He talks reckless to people. And he talked reckless to Durant. And it was happening in his Instagram messages in the DMs. And Durant said something. I'm guessing he got nervous and wanted to tell the whole world about it. And it looks, they both look silly in this. They both do. I would love for Kevin Durant to just have a little more self-control. I don't have a problem with going off on people and letting people have it. But in certain situations, because this to me seems like Rappaport baited him into something and set him up. And now look at where we are. Kevin Durant is fined $50,000 by the NBA. The black community should fine Michael Rappaport $50,000 to get that money up out of him for what he did, what he said, stuff he said in the past. They should fine him $50,000 for playing the character of Remy in Higher Learning, and then playing a racist and killing Tyra Banks. You should get fined $50,000 for that, Michael Rappaport, for all the reckless stuff you done said. But at the same time, at the end of the day, though, Kevin Durant still have to have more, a better self-control over himself and what he says. Nobody can push you to a point. You have to allow yourself to go to that point. So that's what I want from KD. Because now people are going to look at him as if he has hate speech within him. When the truth is, every human being talks reckless. Every human being talks reckless. Every one of us. And I hate that people try to make it seem like some people have more pristine conversation or more pristine ways of getting things out than others. I've seen people from all types of backgrounds say some foul shit to people, do foul shit to people, right? So I'm not promoting bad stuff and foul stuff, but what I am saying is I don't like when people try to act like they are holier than thou. So media people, social media people, people in the public, I would never say stuff like that. Yes, you would. And you've said it in the past. Because we're already in the cancel, in the midst of this cancel culture, when you say something and people get offended, you're supposed to get canceled. If you said something 20, 15 years ago, you're supposed to get canceled. This is a society who doesn't allow people to grow, even though they want you to allow them to grow, but they won't allow you to grow. But so this is the atmosphere that we're in. And that we'll find ourselves in with Kevin Durant and Michael Rapaport. And they're at this particular junction at both of their lives. And Kevin Durant don't need Michael Rapaport. Michael Rapaport right now, I don't know what he's been doing in life, but Kevin Durant don't need him. He don't have to have no conversation with Michael Rapaport. It'll benefit Michael Rapaport more to be in the presence of Kevin Durant than the opposite. So that's what it is, man. Hey, I'm not going to say I feel for Durant, but I do want Durant to have more restraint on his emotions and what he says, so he won't get himself caught up in these situations. And I want Michael Rapaport to do the same thing. Both of you gentlemen, be adults. Michael Rapaport, have control over your mouth. But like I said, people have allowed Michael Rapaport to talk reckless, especially to us in our community, for so long. He's comfortable with it. So it's going to be hard to rein him in now, because you done let him run records. He should have been checked a long time ago. But here we are. And because he can identify with a lot of the art that comes out of the culture, he gets a pass. All right. Well, here we are. Here we are. Here we are. Hey, man, that's another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast. We got to bring this thing to the end. Got a busy day today, but I'm happy to be able to come in and stop by and drop this fix off to you. It's been a long time since it's been one-on-one, just me and you, man. This shit felt good to be back. And I ain't no disrespect to the homies, because I love having the homies in here, but every now and then you got to get back one-on-one with your folk. Feel like I got to be able to touch y'all again. Just me and you, the personality bringing it out. And y'all got my little singing. Because the ambulance car, everybody who rode in an ambulance car, throw your hands up. If you rode in ambulance car, ooh. Shout out to the young man, the gentleman who made that song. Shout out to him. Hey, remember, for the full video of the Fix Sports Podcast, go to patreon.com/fix. I'm a patron. I'll get the full video, full content, and exclusive stuff on Patreon. Shout out to all of my Fix folk, all my Fix folk who support the podcast, who support the network, support what we got going on here. I love y'all. I thank y'all, all my patrons, all my current patrons. Thank you all. And man, look, we're just going to continue doing this thing to keep this ball rolling. This is season 6, episode 22. Yeah, episode 22, man. And we do it how we do it. I am Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast, www.freedomtrainradio.com. And if you don't know, now you know too.